get started, our message today is part two in a three-week series called Debunking Da Vinci. And you can't help but see everywhere you turn on the television or whatever, in the newspaper, Time magazine, Da Vinci, the David Letterman show, whatever. Da Vinci's everywhere. It's important that we sort of can debunk the sucker. You know what I'm saying? Man. So that's what we're trying to do in this service. We're using this time just as a teaching opportunity to share with you so that we can grow in our faith. We want to be rooted and grounded in our faith. So when the next book comes along, or the next movie comes along, or the next scoffer comes along, we can know what we believe and we can have assurance and we're not shaken and moved about with every wind of doctrine that's blowing. You got me? You understand where I'm coming from? So if you'll hang in here with me, come on, wherever you're at, I need your help. I need you to participate with me today. I need you to jump in here and just look and listen and respond and just be a part of the message today. And let's do this for the glory of God this morning. Had a great phone call from a dear pastor friend of mine. He was putting together a series on Da Vinci. He was going to do something, breaking the code of Da Vinci, etc. So he did all this studying and everything. He called me. I was down in the Keys on Friday night. I got the call, and he said, Pastor Clark, he said, I put my message together. He said, and then I went over to your website and clicked on the message you did last Sunday, which is Rogers, all that work on the PowerPoint and everything. He said, I took my message, threw it in the trash. Well, that's terrible. He said, I did do this, though. I added two slides to it to make it my own. Okay? But Roger, praise the Lord that people can go online, they can click on our webpage. You can do this yourself. You can go and click on that. You can download what you're seeing this morning. I'm not going to be on it. You're going to see the points. You're going to see the scriptures. You can take your own time and you can grow in the Lord. And we do that every week on our website. And it just sort of lets you, because this goes so fast, it's hard to get it all. So that's a neat tool. But that blessed my heart. And that's awesome. So appreciate the work that Roger puts into it and everything. Right now, here's another message. Debunking Da Vinci. Today, we got a fly. Okay? We got a fly. Last week in our study of Colossians chapter 1, we want to do more than just talk about a book. We want to get to the Bible and lay some groundwork as well. We talked last week on the preeminent Christ. Amen? Let's look at it one more time. The preeminent Christ. Here's what we have in Jesus. He delivered us from darkness. He translated us into the kingdom. He redeems us through His blood. No wonder they want to attack Him. He forgives our sins. He is the exact image of God. All this is in Colossians chapter 1. He's of first importance. He is creator of all things. All things exist for Him. He is before all things. He holds all things together. He's the head of the church. He is preeminent. The Bible actually says that. He is beloved of God the Father. He made peace with God for us. Hallelujah. He reconciled us to God. And then finally, He presents us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable before God the Father. Let's praise the Lord. Come on. Yes, sir. But I tell you what. Pop it, Raj. Let me tell you something. We're going to look today at the perversion of Satan. Last week was the preeminent Christ. In the book of Colossians, you see the preeminent Christ. Chapter 2, you see the perversion of Satan. And then in chapter 3 and 4, you see the purpose of the believer, or your role in life. And we're going to see that next Sunday morning, so Lord willing. But today, chapter 2 of Colossians, the perversion of Satan. Let's find out a little bit about Satan. Satan's a liar. Can you say that with me? Come on. Satan is a liar. Let's look at the Bible. John 8:44, Jesus speaking, "You're of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him." When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. Say it with me. "For he is a liar and the father of it." Satan is a liar. Some other verses. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them." He wants to pervert truth, pervert the scriptures, to screw your head up and your faith up. Revelation 12:9, "The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan," which what? Say it with me. "Deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him." Revelation 20:10, "And the devil that what? Deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." That'll be a happy day. "Where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Satan is a liar. Okay? books like the Da Vinci Code, Gnostic Gospels, the Gospel of Judas now. There's one on Pilate. Pilate has his gospel. Thomas has his gospel. Everybody and their brother's got a gospel. You know what I'm saying? Satan's all about perverting things. Satan is the enemy of the gospel.
Man.
He's the enemy of the Church of Jesus Christ. I know some of you today, I know there's some of you in this building today, you're like, oh, I can't believe he's talking about the devil. You know what I'm saying? Because if you talk about the devil, bad things will happen to you. Listen, I know Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
You know what? And Satan is the enemy of the church. He's the enemy of the gospel. He's the enemy of Christ. He's the enemy of Gary Clark. Amen. He is my enemy. He's not my friend. Keep moving. Ephesians 6, so what should we do? We put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a real battle going on, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Say it with me. Because you're what? Adversary. The what? Devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to eat your lunch. That's Satan. Can you say that with me? Satan is all about doubt. One more time. I need a little help this morning. Come on. Satan is all about doubt. That's why all this is going on. That's why you see this book, that book, the other book. That's why, you know, when it comes to creation, evolution, he's just all about doubt. He wants you to disbelieve God right out of the gate. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No, he didn't. He wants you to just think totally different than what the Bible says. He's all about doubt. See, we're called to be witnesses. And if he can get you and me to doubt in our faith, not that we're going to doubt so bad we're going to die and go to hell, just that we doubt a little bit so that we can't be a force for Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me today? He's all about doubt. Well, certainly he's about folks doubting so that they will lose their soul in a place called hell. He's all about that too. But he's all about doubt. He is the ultimate pervert. Let's say it if you got the guts with me this morning. Satan is the ultimate pervert. He's all about perversion. Perverting God's word, that's the main thing. But perverts who ruin the lives of innocent children, that's all of the devil as well. Perversion of the sexes, that's all of Satan. Satan is the ultimate pervert. That's what he is. And he perverts God's word. Keep moving. So, that's the problem with the Da Vinci Code. Clark, why are you making such a big deal out of the Da Vinci Code? Well, it'd be all right. I said it last week. Get message one. It'll be out in the series in a couple of weeks, and you can get it on DVD. And just check it all out, or go back to the website and check it out. Listen, I have no problem with people writing fiction and calling it fiction. But when you write something and say, but now wait, all this is history, and this is history, and this is history, and you slam my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I tell you, that bothers me. That's a problem. There's a problem. There's a problem with the church. We need to learn to see what the Bible says and be able to stand on our own two feet. Hey, you know, I expect the devil's crowd to write bad things about Jesus. I expect that. That doesn't bother me. God's not intimidated with that. He can handle that. But when the church starts swallowing this mess, hook, line, and sinker, that's a major problem. So that's why we're doing this series. I'm going to go over a few of these things again. It's not my favorite thing to do, but let's go over a few more of these facts. Some of them we gave you last week, we're going to add to that a little bit. The problem of this book is that many things in this book promotes anything but fact. But it says it is a fact, much of its historical examples. We talked about that last week. For example, let's look at it. Here's several things the book says. It says that Jesus is not God. He was only a man. Lie. Boom. Let's look at another. It says that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. Lie. Boom. Flat out of pits of hell. It's not true at all. Mary Magdalene is to be worshipped as a goddess. Isn't that great? Jesus didn't get it. She gets it. Son of the living God didn't get the glory. We're going to give it to some woman that was on this earth. That's craziness. God will not share his glory with anybody. Okay? He won't share his glory with anybody. By the way, you ain't getting it. I ain't getting it. Jesus gets it. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess to the Lord. Glory to God the Father. That is what it's all about. But anyway, some other thing. It says that Jesus got her pregnant. I hate to even put that on the screen. That's what the book says. And the two of them had a daughter. It's not just the book. This has, you know, been handed down as a myth, you know, since the Middle Ages. This daughter gave rise to a prominent family line that's still present in Europe today. Well, isn't that cozy? Isn't that fancy? You know? You know, that, like I said last week, alive. These are major people. These aren't people that were hiding somewhere. In all their writings, they're calling Jesus divine. But somebody could just take a book, because quite frankly, the world and much of the Christian church is ignorant.
Yes.
And we just follow that mess, hook, line, and sinker. Crazy, these people. Jesus was not called divine in 325. Oh, he was being called divine there as well. They'll tell you that. They'll tell you, listen to me, at the Council of Nicaea, if you watch some of the television shows, they'll tell you that it was barely passed by a vote in 325 that Jesus was divine. In actuality, the vote was 318-2 that Jesus was divine. But you know what? I could care less about a vote, quite frankly. Vote doesn't bother me. Jesus is God whether we vote for Him or not. Amen?
That's right.
That's the bottom line. But that's history. Furthermore, one of the earliest Christian creeds. Creeds. This is what the Christians said earlier. You can check it out. What's the scripture? 1 Corinthians 15, Roger? Or 1 Corinthians 12? They called Him Jesus as Lord. That was part of their early creeds. That's what they said. He is divine. He is Lord. He is divine. He is Lord. Let's keep moving. Okay? Wow. Whew. This will kill a man up here. Let's keep looking. Some of these errors and things like that. Here's one I didn't like to put up, but for you ladies, I'm putting it up. The Gnostic Gospels, those are those Gospels like the Gospel of Judas you just heard about, the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Pilate. There's 30 of these Gospels that were written 150 years after Jesus lived to about 250 to 300 years after He lived. These Gnostic Gospels, who rewrote biblical history. Okay? The Gnostic Gospels uniformly teach that they teach the sacred feminine, which was the pagan idea that sex with a woman is the root to a relationship with God. That's what they taught. Okay? But let's look. Let's look at the rebuttal. Unlike the four true Gospels, quite frankly, ladies, let me tell you something. You can't read the Word of the living God. And even though it was a different time and culture, you can't read the Word and read about Jesus without knowing Jesus loved women. He respected women.
Amen.
He put women up on a higher level. And quite frankly, the equality that women have today in this country came about, quite frankly, because of leaders believing the Word of God and being convinced of that, of the Word of God, and giving them the same place that they ought to have, that Jesus said they ought to have. But here's what happened. The Gnostic Gospels actually degrade women. They make such a big deal. We need to get this message out, that these Gnostic Gospels and the Da Vinci Code is degrading to women. Oh, they're trying to, you know, magnify Mary Magdalene, but look a little deeper and they degrade women. Look at what the last verse of the most famous of the Gnostic Gospels says, the Gospel of Thomas. It declares that a woman cannot be saved unless God first changes her into a man. That's the very last verse of the Gospel of Thomas, the Gnostic Gospel 114. Okay? So ladies, you have to be changed into a man before you can be saved. Man, we have a hard enough time getting people just to bow their heart before the Lord, much less have some kind of sex change thing going on. You know what I'm saying? Crazy! Crazy stuff! I'm telling you, this is sort of interesting to me. Let's keep moving. Alright, was there any fact-checking? Listen, there are so many alleged accurate depictions of the Da Vinci Code, that historian and first-rate scholar Paul Meyer just had to shake his head. Here's another historian just saying, I can't believe they call this stuff reality. Detailing all the errors, misinterpretations, deceptions, this is a quote, distortions, outright falsehoods of the Da Vinci Code, makes one wonder whether Brown's manuscript ever underwent editorial scrutiny or fact-checking, period. This is from a historian. For version's sake, let's keep moving, Raj. Wow. Amazingly, we live in the information age, yet we still live in an age of massive misinformation.
That's right.
And a lot of you are going to be misinformed, because you'll pick up a book like that and you'll sit in front of the television and watch this mess. Listen, but you won't pick up your Bible. I don't need the Bible. How about this? I can't understand the Bible. Let me tell you something. If Gary Clark from Rockingham, nowhere in North Carolina,
amen.
How many been watching American Idol, seeing all the country folk on
there?
Yeah, we did, and poor old Kelly got voted off last week. But anyway, it was sad. But listen, she's a lot like us. She had never seen a dog wear clothes and things like that. You know, had never tasted calamari. Didn't know what a meat was. Listen, all those things. That's me, friend. That's me. Look, if I can get the Bible, if God can take an old hellraiser like me, and he can change my heart, and I can read the Bible, and I can understand it. They ain't a one in the buildings without excuse.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, read the book, man. It'll change your life. The Bible says Satan is the prince of the power of the air. We see that in Ephesians 2:2. Let's keep moving. The Bible says that in end times, men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, just saying what they want to hear. I think probably already this morning I've made several of you mad. You know, I don't really care to tell you what you want to hear. I would rather preach the Word of God. I'm going to stand accountable to Him. And that's the bottom line.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, the Apostle Paul dealt with this kind of Gnostic perversion in the book of Colossians. That's why I want to take us back to the Bible. We did chapter 1 last week. Now let's move back. Come on. Let's see what we got. This perverted virus of Gnosticism was attacking the early church at Colossae. We talked about this last week. We can't re-preach that message. But here's what was happening in that church. Here is what they were believing. Stay here with me. They taught way back when, that's why we're going to go to the Bible, because it's going to do you good for the next book or the next movie. Here we go. They taught that salvation could only be obtained through knowledge. Superior knowledge. The enlightened. Okay? I don't know about you, but I'm sometimes not very bright. Amen? Hear you. Second thing they taught is this. Faith. A belief in something without material proof was silly and useless. See if you can quote it with me. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him or God. For we must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You can't be saved without faith. They were teaching in the early church, faith is silly. You're silly to believe in that God you can't see. You don't believe in that Jesus stuff, do you? That's what they were preaching. That's what they were teaching. Same as today. They taught this also. Matter itself was evil. They thought the world was created by a series of angelic emulations. That's one angel created another angel, created another angel, created another angel. By the time it was all done, it was all evil. This ruled out the incarnation of Christ. The divine creation, prayer, faith, miracles, the accuracy of the Bible, and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Gnosticism rules out everything we hold dear. Does that make any sense to you? That's why we're vehemently opposed against it. The goal of man was twofold, depending on which side of the Gnostic fence that you set on. They made it convenient for them. And they were fixing to get to the Bible. Hang in here with me. There were two views of Gnosticism. Number one, asceticism. Big old fancy word. What does that mean? You avoid all joys in life. You abuse your body for the promoting of the spirit. You still see that today in a lot of cultures. They crawl on glass. I'm getting, what you doing? Get close to Jesus. I feel sorry for them, but that is a form of Gnosticism. Do you understand? And the other kind of teaching is where the church is headed altogether these days. Much of it, watch it. Epicureanism. That's unrestrained physical enjoyment. If it feels good, do it. I don't have to be holy. I don't need to have any standards in my life. I don't need to live for the Lord. I can do what I want to. Jesus died. I'm free, baby. Those are views that are based, they come right out of Gnosticism. They ought to be rejected. Why? Because they're perverted views of the Bible. Okay? Let's keep moving. Roger, you wore out yet. Okay. Wow. Let's look in Colossians. Are we there yet? I'm trying. Let's go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Hang in here with me. A lot of work went into this. Colossians 2. Satan's perversions. It's in Colossians 2. The same thing he did then, he's doing now. What he does now, he did then.
That's right.
So let's learn the Bible. Okay? Y'all ready? Let's look at it. Colossians 2. Second chapter is about the perversion of Satan. When you read that chapter, check it out. Let's look at 2:4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Satan's first choice that we see here written that Paul hits head on is enticing words. Roger, move on the screen. Just because something sounds good doesn't mean it is. Amen?
Amen.
Satan tries to make things sound so good and palatable and tasty. You know, enticing words. Just because sometimes preaching sounds like, you know, you're preaching sin, you're preaching hell, you're preaching the blood of Jesus, sometimes that doesn't sound good. But you know what? That preaching sounds good to me.
Come on, amen.
I'm glad to be free from hell. I accept Christ. I'm glad He died on the cross, shed His blood for me. I'm glad He rose from the dead. To me, that's beautiful. It's wonderful.
That's right.
Okay? But listen. The reason Satan can get by with enticing words is because a lot of Christians are suckers. A lot of Christians are as dumb as a box of rocks. I'm telling you. How many have met some of them? Raise your hand. Come on. Come on. I ain't the only one. I may have met a few more. But listen, we're suckers. I have had, and if you've been one of these people, I'm sorry. I've had some people come up to me and say, oh, you heard about the book of Judas? I want to read the book of Judas. Why don't you read the book of John? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Read the Bible.
Yeah.
Come on. That's enticing. It's enticing. Judas was Jesus' best friend. Did you hear that? You hear me? Enticing words. 2 Timothy. The Bible says, 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be what? Shame. What? Rightly dividing the word truth. Read your Bible. I get so excited when new Christians or Christians that are starting to be grounded in their faith, they're telling me, Pastor, I read my Bible. I'm reading my Bible. Hardly a week goes by. Somebody doesn't come see me, want to learn how to read their Bible. Share with them where to go, where to start. We put Bibles into people's hands. Or somebody calls and says, where can I buy a good Bible? And then they start reading it. And I had a dear sister told me she read. I had her read John, and she reread it. Then she went to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and she's telling me all this. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
It's beautiful. That's what we need to do. Colossians 2. Talk about enticing words. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted. Build up in Him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Don't buy this line of slop. Believe the Bible. The Bible says it, anchor it on that. Amen? Let's keep moving. Second thing that we see in the book of Colossians, the perversions of Satan. Number two is philosophy and vain deceit. People like me that grew up in the country, and we don't talk the big fancy talk. We grew up sort of thinking maybe we were sort of subclass a little bit when somebody could just rattle on all these big fancy words. Let me tell you something. Those days are over in my life, quite frankly. Listen to me. Philosophy. Listen, Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. What is that talking about? Let's look at it plain English. Here we go. So much of philosophy is learning more and more about less and less, so finally you know everything about nothing. How many people know people like that? Have you ever been with people, though, they just talk and talk and talk and talk? You're like, oh my God, please let me get out of here. Wow! That's what we don't want fellowship to become. Some of you might be feeling that way right now. Hey, I'm not putting down education. I don't say it to brag. I have a college education. I think every kid ought to get a college education. You need to go to college. You need to study. Amen? I've said it before. A few years ago, I was given an honorary doctorate. Big deal. Amen? Do you know Jesus? I'm for education, but I'm not for so much education and philosophy that you throw Jesus away.
Amen.
Or you get too smart for Jesus. Paul said, beware of that mess. Look at it. So much of philosophy is like a blind man looking in a dark room for a black cat that ain't there. That's a bad trick. You know what I'm saying? That is philosophy, so much of it. Let's keep moving. Keep moving. Here we go. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Keep moving. Psalm 119. I put lots of scriptures. If you want to go to the website, check them all out. I'll just share a few of them, okay? Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Satan perverts things. Amen? So far, enticing words, philosophy. Not saying philosophy is all bad, but much of it is. The traditions of men. The traditions of men. I want to tell you something. The church is full of this. Church is full of this right here. And I could preach all day on this, but I ain't got time. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after what? The what? tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Traditions of men. The devil, listen to this statement. The devil is delighted for you to have your faith your way. He's the Burger King guy. He wants you to have your faith your way. Well, it's my faith, and I can do it my way. Not according to the Bible, you can't.
That's right.
There's one way. Jesus Christ. You can't have it your way. But the devil wants you to get steeped in tradition. Some of you still go to churches back home that are so steeped in tradition, the gospel's not even preached. It's lost totally. But you still hang in there because you've always gone there. Get out! Can't make any difference. Go somewhere where the word starts. Go to another place. Start another church where the gospel's preached. Quit hanging on to some of this mess. I'm not saying throw out every tradition. I'm not saying that at all. But we need to be careful. Let's keep moving. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 15. Boy, so much scripture. I don't have all this time. He came to Jesus. They came to Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees. And they said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why do you transgress our tradition and the tradition of our fathers? They don't wash their hands when they eat bread. Okay? That doesn't mean they had dirty hands. They didn't go through this formalistic ritual washing. But he answered and said to them, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your what? Tradition. Now check these other scriptures out. I don't have time. We'll zip on through them. But the bottom line is, we can sometimes make tradition higher authority in our life than the Word of God. You understand?
That's right.
Oh, I can't believe you do that at your church. We do it this way. Well, show me that in the Bible that you do it that way.
Amen.
And why do you do it that way? That should be what we should be saying. You can be full of religious tradition and empty of the Spirit of the living God. You can have all your ducks in a row. Even on our radio station that we have, I cringe sometimes. I was listening the other day, and I like these people. They're friends of mine. But she was basically on her show knocking the fact that now we have, we call the stage a stage instead of a chancel. Who cares? It used to be a chancel. It wasn't in North Carolina. We never called it no chancel. I ain't never seen no chancel. How many had a chancel? Can I see your hand? Let me see. Did y'all have? I mean, it's okay to have one if you had it.
Never even heard a word.
You never heard it. I know. You're about like I am. But the point is, we can get so bent out of shape when it's not called the way it was, or something. And we do that with music all the time. We say it. It's a very divisive issue. I love old hymns. We sing them. I love them. But guess what? God isn't dead. There's still great things being written. Things are happening today. We need to be careful that we don't get so stuck. Sometimes we can become deader than a hammer if you don't watch it. Galatians 1. Here's Paul. You want tradition? Paul speaking. He said, "In profiting of the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." So he said, "Look, I was the most traditionalized person there was. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me by his grace."
Amen.
He said, "I was the most traditional person. I was the most religious person. But I was lost until he called me by his grace." Tradition won't take you to heaven. This will. "For by grace you're saved through faith.
Amen.
And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God." Not of what? Works or tradition, lest any man should boast. Okay? Let's keep moving. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, etc. Thank you. Let's go to the next one. We're almost there. Whew. Number 4, chapter 2, perversions of Satan. This is the fourth one. Can you say that one with me? How many's ever heard of that word in church? Okay? Listen, I'm not talking about the world. I'm trying to get us our act together. Okay? Listen. Colossians 2:16. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or a new moon or on the Sabbath days." Legalism is a perversion of Satan. Okay? That is, what is legalism? It can be many things, but it can be something like this. Ladies, you can't be holy if you wear slacks. How many ever went to a church like that and taught that? Be honest, raise your hand. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Or men, you can't be real spiritual if you have long hair, like a girl. Can I see your hand? Say, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so when I went to that little kind of church, they zipped my hair. Oh, I went to the barber. But my hair went zip and off the back and boom. And all these rules, 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 rules. For me, it was good. I considered it boot camp for Clark. I needed it. As a real sergeant, I had it. It was okay. It didn't bother me. My pastor came later in life. He came and made a trip to Inglewood, Florida. He's sitting down at a table looking me square in the eyeballs, tears running down his face. He said, "I'm sorry for doing that to you." I said, "Preacher, I'm okay. Believe it or not. Okay. What you did, you loved me. You loved me with your whole heart. And then we worked it out, okay? But legalism, what is it? Let's keep moving. The devil is tickled when the church and the believers run on man-made rules.
Yeah,
yes,
amen.
He's happy when our church runs like that. Man-made rules. He gets excited about that. That's perverted. We need to run on what the Bible says. That's the rule book. That's the authority. Legalism. They were hung up on diet and days. There's still people hung up on that. That because of what they eat or the day they worship, they're more spiritual than you and you're not doing it right. That's legalism. What's the Bible say? "But meat commends us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those that are weak." We don't do it to earn favor. The holy life we live, we do that for the Lord. And also the life that we try to live, we try to do that to be a blessing to other people so they don't. We don't become a stumbling block. It never grants us favor with God. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, brother.
It's the blood of Jesus plus nothing minus nothing. Not any of our man-made rules. Legalism, diet and days can give an outward appearance of spirituality, but these practices can never change your heart. Cut your hair as short as mine, you still ain't gonna get your sins forgiven.
Amen.
It's the blood of Christ. It's accepting His death. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Amen.
I'm not about becoming a nut. I mean, I think we can. Yeah. Listen, legalism is a perversion of Satan.
Yes, it is.
And it just happens. And I have to fight it. I have it in my own heart, my own life. In our own radio ministry. Let's keep moving. I hate to put this up, but I'm going to do it. Don't do or do-do. Which one's best? Both of them. Both of them smell. Amen? When I tell people, I don't do this and I don't do that, or I do this and I do that, both of them equally stink. Spend your time bragging on Jesus. Spend your time pointing people to the cross. Spend your time humbling yourself. Spend your whole life putting yourself down at His feet. And put Him up. And let these folks that want to run their church, let them have at it. Don't do that. And I tell you what, you're not going to be very comfortable here. Because the Lord is, He's working on me. I'm the hardest head in the bunch. He's working on me with grace and kindness and liberty and freedom. But I'm glad to grow. Amen? I want to grow. Hallelujah. Legalism is so popular because you can measure your spiritual life by it. You think you can. You can even brag about it. Let's be honest with it. Let's be honest with some other Christians who see us. How many of you did something, or you used to do something, or it was a practice, or something, the way you looked, or whatever, but you actually did that and you bragged on it before? I'll put my hand up. I'm ashamed of that. Yes. I should brag on Him. Brag
That's
on Jesus.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Anytime we brag on us, we don't smell too good. Remember that. Do-do, don't-do. Stinks. Here we go. Last one, Rog. We should measure ourselves this way. Ephesians. "Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's how I'm to measure myself. That's my goal. Amen? Not one-upping you guys. Finally, the last one this morning. We went a little long. Thank you this morning. A lot of stuff here. Book sold over 40 million copies. I think we ought to be seeing this. Mysticism. Paul hit mysticism. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Mysticism. People tell you they've experienced things. Ooh, I saw this. I saw that. And they live their life on these kind of kooky things. Base your faith on the Word of God, something that's solid. Amen. Mysticism. Mysticism stresses the inner light and ignores the true light. Ooh, the inner light. Hey, I've got the Holy Spirit, the living God, living inside of me. Why? Because the Bible says I do. Amen? Also, I can see it in my life, the change that He's made. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's not an inner light. It's a person of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of my heart. Listen, it confuses truth with personal experience. The church has followed this hook, line, and sinker again. Confusing truth with personal experience. The devil, now listen, this is very important. I wrote this and it's hard to make sense, but here it is. The devil loves it when you, one more time. The devil loves it when you think more of what you think you heard God say than when you read from God's Word what God did say.
Amen,
brother. I've got to quit. A lot of Christian television sickens me. They get on their fundraisers. And a lot of you might participate in this. I really caution you and warn you. God told me there's 100 people going to give $1,200. How can you rebut that? How can you refute that? Where is that at? Well, God told me. It's because He's looked over there. They need this much money by the time that clock hits that. You divide that by the minutes, that equals this. I tell you, friend, don't fall for that kind of mess.
That's
don't
right.
fall for that.
Right.
What does the Bible say?
That's right.
What does the Word say?
That's right.
Listen, I'm not saying we don't get movings of the Spirit. I've had that in my life many times. And you get a calm assurance in your spirit. I agree with that. But listen, you don't build a church on it. You don't bank your doctrine on it. Amen? God speaks in your heart. We bank it on the book, not on some kind of life or some kind of inner thing that we've got happening. Listen, I'm going to tell you, here we go. I'm probably running all of you off today. Here we go. Anytime anybody tells me something that God supposedly told them, I just can't believe it 100% if I can't see it or read it in the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
Bottom line. I'm not saying that you can't say the Spirit moved. I do believe in that. Okay? But listen. But to just go ahead and create a whole new doctrine. Listen, friend. You're just really out there skating on thin ice. And you just keep watching these folks. They're going to fall by the wayside. You might not see it in your lifetime. It'll happen. We're closing today, Roger. We're not going to finish. 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This is Peter writing. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Keep reading. For He received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. When we were with Him in the holy mount. Peter, an eyewitness. Who are you going to believe? An eyewitness. You're going to believe Dan Brown. Come on, friend.
Come on.
Believe your Bible. Look at this. Peter talking. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake.
Ooh.
As they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the Bible you hold in your hand.
Yes.
Amen? That is the Word of the living God that you and I hold to, we cling to. Gnostic what? Gnostic methods. Okay? We cling to the precious Word of God. That's what it's all about. One last question for you this morning. Pop it up. Gnostics are big on knowledge. I'm afraid some of you might think I'm not big on knowledge. I am. Because God's big on knowledge. You know, He's big on knowledge too. Here's what God wants you to know. Right here. He wants you to know who Jesus is.
Amen.
Do you know Him today? Say. If you had to write down on a sheet of paper, Pastor Clark, if I died today like Brother Walker did, And I'm sure Brother Walker's in heaven, not a question, flat out period, because he loved Jesus and believed in Jesus. But if you died today like Brother Walker, what would you put on that line right there that you said, this is why I'm going to heaven? This is why, preacher, you can count on me being there. What would you put on that line? Do you know Jesus? Oh, I go to this church. Tradition! Well, I feel this way. Mysticism! What you got? What is it on that line? Do you know Him? Let's stand. Thank you so much. Thank you so much today.